This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and seek His assistance. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil within ourselves and from the evil of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide him. Yet whomever He allows to go astray, none can guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah alone. He has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except in the state of Islam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, fear Allah and speak the truth. He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive your sins. And whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed achieved a great achievement. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our khutbah is about giving up things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fruits thereof. We have a hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah min hadith Abi Qatada wa Abi Dahma qala atayna ala rajulin min ahli al-badiya wa qulna hal sami'ta min rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shay'a. The both of them approached a man and we asked him, did you hear anything from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Qala sami'tuhu yaqul, I heard him say, innaka lan tad'a shay'an lillah إِلَّا أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْهُ. He said, you do not leave anything for the sake of Allah except that Allah will replace you because of what you left, replace you with something better for you than that thing. يعني, it replace you with something better. The scholars say to note in the wording of the hadith a number of things. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَدَعَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ. You will not leave anything for the sake of Allah. So they said, anything, شَيْئًا, which is a general and all-encompassing term, which means you can give up anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing, لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلِ, that when you leave something, make sure it's for the sake of Allah and to earn the pleasure of Allah. Not out of fear of people or being shy of them. Even if it's a good reason why you're leaving it, make sure you make it first for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you quit smoking, many people quit smoking, and when you ask them, why did you quit? Because of health, because of my lungs. Not because of health. First do it for Allah azza wa jal, and then make the second intention for your lungs. But you were for years disobeying Allah and smoking, and now when you quit, it's for the sake of your health. Not once is it going to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make sure you do it for Allah Azza wa Jal. If you stop watching television, not for the sake of making use of your time, first make it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then make it for making benefit of your time. And we have a hadith indicating that things have to be done. When you leave something, it has to be for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet ﷺ narrated from Allah. So it's a Qudsi hadith. Yaqulullah, إذا أراد عبدي أن يعمل شيئا فلا تكتبوها عليه حتى يعملها. If Allah is telling the angels, if my servant wants to do something, don't write it against him, meaning it's a sin. Don't write it against him until he does it. فإن عملها فكتبوها بمثلها. If he does it, write it as is. Don't multiply it or anything. If he does a sin, write it as it is. وإن تركها من أجلي. And if he leaves it for my sake, فَاكْتُبُوهَا لَهُ حَسَنًا. If he leaves it for my sake, that's the condition, then write it as a good deed. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَن يَعْمَلَ حَسَنَةً فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا فَاكْتُبُوهَا لَهُ حَسَنًا. And if he wants to do a good deed and he doesn't do it, then write it down as a good deed. فَإِنْ عَمِلَهَا فَاكْتُبُوهَا لَهُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا إِلَى سُبْعُمِئَةَ. يعني, and if he does it, then write it down in 10 times reward up to 700 times in reward. So we see from this hadith that when you give up something, it has to be number one for the sake of Allah. The other thing the scholars mention, when you don't do a bad deed, you get reward when you don't do it out of fear of Allah, not out of inability. يعني, someone wants to get in his car and go do something haram. He starts his car and then he turns it off. He feels ashamed in front of Allah and he goes back in his house. So what stopped him from committing the sin is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas another person gets in his car to go do something haram, the car won't start. So he goes back home. This guy gets no reward. What stopped him was his inability, not the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the third thing, if you fulfill that condition, the hadith then says, if you feel, إِلَّا أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace you with something better than that. So if you fulfill the first condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it up to you and replaces you with better than that which you left. The scholars say it could be something similar, or it could be something entirely different, such as your heart becoming content, or Allah Azza wa Jalla giving you peace of mind, and your love of Allah increasing. And it could be in this world, or it could be in the next. And we see a lot of examples in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Sa'd, وَوَهَبْنَا لِدَاوُودَ سُلَيْمَانَ نِعْمَ الْعَبْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٍ. And we gave Dawood Sulaiman, most excellent servant is he, and surely he is awwab, always returning to Allah in tawbah. إِذْ عُرِضَ عَلَيْهِ بِالْعَشِيِّ الصَّافِنَاتُ الْجِيَادِ. When they brought to him in the evening horses that are safinat, still while standing, obedient, and jiyad, fast and swift when running. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَحْبَبْتُ حُبَّ الْخَيْلِ خَيْرِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ رَبِّي حَتَّى تَوَارَتْ بِالْحِجَابِ. He said, I preferred the good things to the remembrance of my Lord until the sun set. So he's talking about how he missed Asr. So the sun set, and I preferred the love of these things over remembrance of my Lord. رُدُّوهَا عَلَيْ فَطَفِقَ مَسْحًا بِالسُّوقِ وَالْأَعْنَاقِ. He says, bring them back to me. And then he began to slash their legs and their necks. And some scholars mentioned that that was allowed in his sharia. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 2-3 verses later, says, فَزَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِهِ رُخَاءً حَيْثُ أَصَابٍ. So he gave that up for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we made the wind subservient to him. He could command the wind to go anywhere he wanted. His command could make it run gently wherever he desired. Other examples, we find the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who left their wealth, their homes and their families in Mecca. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the world because they left that for the sake of Allah. So Allah let them run the majority of the world. And it was narrated by Ibn Kathir that when the companions of the Prophet ﷺ would pass away later on during the reign of Umar, they would have to cut out their tarikah, yani the gold and silver they leave behind. They would have to cut it with an axe. That's how much wealth came to them. Because they left the beginning for the sake of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced them with better. And an example of that is Suhaib al-Rumi, radiallahu anhu, narrated by Ikrimah. When Suhaib left Mecca to immigrate to Medina, the people of Mecca followed him. So then he climbed on a small hill. فَنَثَلَ كِنَانَتَهُ فَأَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعِينَ سَهْمًا. So he took out his quiver and he took 40 arrows out in his hand. And he said, you will not reach me until I put an arrow in each one of you. And he says, you know, I'm one of the best shots. So I'll put an arrow in each one of you. And when I run out of arrows, and then I'll use my sword. So he's telling them, what benefit will you have when so many men die just to get one person? And then he makes them an offer, and he leads them in detail to all his wealth, where it's buried, who it's with, all of the wealth he left behind in Mecca. And he begins to give them detailed direction, and they could keep all his wealth. When he did that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, and amongst men is he who sells himself to seek the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is merciful to the servants. So when he met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Suhaib al-Rumi made it to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ tells him, Aba Yahya, Rabih al-Bay'a. What a prosperous sale, Ya Aba Yahya. And then he recited the verse to him. You give up something for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal will replace you with better. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that from Sahih ibn Majah, that man kadhama ghaydan, whoever contains his anger, wa huwa qadirun ala an yunfidahu, and he is able to let it out, he's able to do something about his anger, da'ahu Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ala ru'us al khala'iq hatta yukhayyiruhu min ayy al huri sha'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him on the day of judgment in front of everyone. And the scholars say, why would Allah call him in front of everyone to get first pick from the women of Jannah? Because when you're rewarded in front of people, the reward becomes greater. And that's why we have award ceremonies. And if your boss pulls you in a dark room and tells you, here, take this and don't tell anyone, is that more of an honor or awarding you in front of people? So this person is rewarded in front of Allah because he left retaliating, and he left it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, so Allah replaces him with better. As you're sitting here, examine your life. What can you give up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it smoking? Is it looking at haram images? Is it music? Is it business transactions that are not halal? We have the story of Al-Mubarak. This is the father of the great and famous scholar Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahumullah. Al-Mubarak used to work in a meadow that belonged to someone. One day the owner comes with his friends. So he tells Al-Mubarak, cut us some sweet pomegranates, some rumman that's sweet. So he brings them a bunch of rumman, pomegranates, and they open them and they're all sour. So the owner of the meadow gets upset with him. He tells him, don't you know the difference between sweet and sour pomegranates? He says, no, because I've never tasted it. He says, you've been working here for years and never once have you tasted the pomegranates? He says, wallahi, not one seed of rumman. So then the man wants to benefit from him. So he asks him, he said, let me ask you, what should people look for when they marry a woman? He tells him, some people seek out wealth, others seek out beauty, but the Muslim, the righteous believer, seeks out deen. So see which group you pertain to and act accordingly. So the man tells him, no one is better than you. And he gave him his daughter to marry. And eventually even that same meadow became his because he feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he was with some of his friends and he saw a shepherd. So he tells him, sell one of the sheep to us. So the man tells him, it's not mine. So now Ibn Umar wants to test this man. He tells him, but how will the owner know? Tell him the wolf ate it. And the man, the shepherd, says, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. So then what about Allah? Where is Allah? And then he walked away, continuing to say, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ. So Abdullah ibn Umar then goes and finds this man's master. And he bought him and set him free and bought all the goats and gave it to him. And then he tells him, your statement, فَأَيْنَ اللَّهِ, your statement freed you, and I ask Allah to free you with it from the hellfire in the next life. Another amazing story is an incident or something that happened in the year 240 after the Hijrah in the city of Mecca to a man by the name of Abi Ghiyath. And the eyewitness to this story who tells it to us in detail is none other than the famous and great scholar of Islam, Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah. He says, I was in Mecca and it was Hajj season, and I saw a man from Khurasan, and Khurasan is an area which would be today like northeastern Iran and also southern Turkmenistan and yani northwestern Afghanistan, that region. He says, I saw a man from Khurasan calling out, Ya Ma'shar al-Hujjaj. So he's calling all the pilgrims. O people of Mecca, from those who are residents and those who are visitors, I lost a bag and in it are 1,000 gold dinars, 1,000 gold coins. فَمَنْ رَدَّهُ إِلَيْهِ جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا جَزَاهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَأَعْتَقَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَهُ الْأَجْرُ وَالثَّوَابِ يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ. He says, whoever gives it back to me, may Allah reward him with good and give him reward on the day of judgment. Imam al-Tabari says, so an old man got up and said to him, Ya Khurasani, O man from Khurasan, the state of our country, of our area, our land is poor, and the days of Hajj are few, and its seasons are limited. Yani times when people come to our city are very few. and the doors of provision are closed, and perhaps this wealth fell into the hands of a believer who is poor and an old man, and he is hopeful to get something from it if he returns it to you, that you may give him a little something and halal wealth. So قال الخراساني, the man from Khurasan said, فَمَا مِقْدَارُ حَلَوَانِهِ, يعني, what is this reward? How much does he want? كَمْ يُرِيدُ. The old man said he would want a tenth, 100 dinars, a tenth of a thousand. So Imam al-Tabari says the man from Khurasan then would not accept. He says, لا أفعل ولكني أفوض أمري إلى الله. He said, I will not accept and I will return this affair to Allah. And I will complain to Allah the day I meet him. And he is most sufficient and the best to put your trust upon. So Imam al-Tabari says, فوقع في نفسي أن الشيخ الكبير رجل فقير. He said, I got the feeling that this old man was very poor. وَقَدْ وَجَدَ كِيسَ الدَّنَانِيرِ وَيَطْمَعُ فِي جُزْءٍ يَسِيرٍ. And he found the bag with gold coins in it, and he's just hopeful to get a little bit of it. So it says, so I followed him until his house, and it was exactly as I expected. He was a poor man. And I heard him calling out to his wife, Ya Lubaba. He calls her, and she says, لَبَّيْكَ أَبَا غِيَاثٍ. She says, at your service, Aba Ghiyath. He tells her, I found, and Imam al-Tabari can hear this from the outside. He says, I found the owner of the dinars calling out, and he doesn't want to give anything to the finder. So I said to him, give us 100 dinars from it. So he refused and returned his affair to Allah. So what should I do, Ya Lubaba? I must return it. I fear my Lord, and I fear my sin will be multiplied. And to explain, in Mecca, you are not supposed to take the luqata, يعني whatever people lose in Mecca, you're not supposed to pick it up or take it from its spot. And he took it. And then in Mecca, the sins are doubled. So he says, I fear my sins will be multiplied. فقالت له زوجته. So his wife then tells him, Ya رجل, نحن نقاسي الفقر معك منذ 50 سنة. Look at her response and see if it encourages him to have fear of Allah or not. She says, we have been struggling against this intense poverty with you for over 50 years. And then you have 4 daughters and 2 sisters living with us, and me and my mother. And you're the 9th one. And we don't, وَلَا شَاتًا لَنَا وَلَا مَرْعَى. We don't have a goat and we don't have any livestock. Take all of the wealth and let us eat from it and benefit from it. And, يعني, because you know our situation, and perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich you. You'll become rich after that. Just يعني, the shaitanic type of thinking. You will make business and you will return it easily in the future. So then you will give him the wealth that you owe him. And then he tells her, he said, Ya Lubaba, أَآكُلْ حَرَامًا بَعْدَ 86 عَامًا بَلَغَهَا عُمْرِي. He says, you want me to eat haram after 86 years of my life? And you want me to burn myself in the hellfire after I've been patient upon all this poverty? And then I get earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while I am close to my grave? لا والله لا أفعل. He said, wallahi, I won't do that. So I left, Imam al-Tabari says, I left while I was bewildered by his situation and his wife. And the next day at noon, I heard the owner of the money calling out again, O people of Mecca, O gathering of pilgrims, O delegation of Allah, residents and visitors, whoever found a bag with 1,000 dinars, let him return it to me, and he will have the reward with Allah. So the old man got up and said, Ya Khurasani, I told you yesterday and I advised you, and our land has little vegetation and livestock, so give the one who finds the money something so he doesn't go against the shara, yani he doesn't do something haram. And I told you to give the one who finds it 100 dinars and you refused. Perhaps your wealth fell in the hands of someone who fears Allah. So won't you give him just 10 dinars instead of 100? And it will be a source of security and prevent them from asking and stealing and increase them in honesty. So the Khurasani man, he said, لا أفعل وأحتسب مالي عند الله. He says, I'm not going to do that, and I'm going to seek the recompense with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I will complain to him with Allah when I meet Allah. And then, he says, then the people dispersed. And then the next day, during one of the hours of the afternoon, I heard the owner of the dinars calling out the exact same thing. And the old man got up And he said, Ya Khurasani, I told you 2 days ago, let him have 100 dinars and you refused. And then 10 dinars and you refused. What if you give the one who finds it 1 dinar? He will buy some food with half of it. And with the other half, he will buy a goat and milk it. فَيَسْقِ النَّاسِ وَيَكْتَسِبْ وَيُطْعِمْ أَوْلَادَهُ وَيَحْتَسِبْ. So he will give people and he will earn a living from selling that milk, and he will give his children as well. So the Khurasani says, I will do no such thing, but I leave him to Allah, and I will complain in front of Allah when we meet him. So the old man then pulled him towards him and said, come and take your dinars and let me be able to sleep. I have not been able to relax since I found this money. So he went with the owner of the money, and I went with them. So Imam al-Tabari now is a young man, and he just couldn't take, he had to find out what's going on. And he has nothing to do with it, so I just went with them. Until the old man went into his home, and he started digging in the ground, and he said, take your wealth, and I ask Allah to pardon me and to provide for me from his bounties. So the Khurasani took it, and he was about to leave. And then when he got to the door, he turned, and he said, Ya Shaykh, old man, my father died, rahimahullah, and left me 3,000 dinars. And he said, take 1/3 out and distribute it to the poorest of the people. So I put it in this bag so I can distribute it to those who deserve. And wallahi, since I left Khurasan until I got here, I have not seen anyone more deserving of it than you. فَخُذْ بَارَكَ فِيك. He tells him, take it, may Allah بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكَ فِيهِ, may Allah put barakah in it for you. وَجَزَاكَ خَيْرًا عَلَى أَمَانَتِكَ, may Allah reward you for your honesty and for your patience and upon your poverty. And then he walked out and he left the money behind. So Imam al-Tabri says, so I walked out behind the Khurasani, and khalas, I found the end of the story and I left. But Abu Ghiyath, the old man, caught up with me and brought me back. He said, sit, I have seen you following me on the first day. So he was aware of him, and he never once said, get out of here, what is it, your business? He just let this young man. So he said, I had seen you following me on the first day, and you know our story from yesterday and today as well. Then he tells him a hadith. He says, سَمِعْتُ أَحْمَدْ ibn Yunus al-Yarbu'i يَقُولْ سَمِعْتُ مَالِكًا يَقُولْ سَمِعْتُ نَافِعًا يَقُولْ عن عبد الله بن عمر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لعمر وعلي رضي الله عنهما. So he's telling him where he heard the hadith from, and then that Abdullah ibn Umar said, I heard the Prophet ﷺ say to Umar, my father, and Ali, إِذَا أَتَاكُمَ اللَّهُ بِهَدِيَّةٍ بِلَا مَسْأَلَةٍ وَلَا اسْتِشْرَافِ نَفْسٍ, if Allah brings you a gift without you asking for it and humiliating yourself, so accept it, فَقْبَلَاهَا وَلَا تَرُدَّهَا, accept it and do not turn it back, because then you'll be turning away something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he tells him this hadith first, and he tells him, this is a gift for you and for everyone in the house. Then the old man called out, Ya Lubaba, his wife, Ya Fulana, Ya Fulana. He calls out all his daughters and his sisters and his wife and her mother, and he sat down and made me sit down. So we became 10 in total. He said, spread out your garments. So I spread mine. And those who didn't have a garment to spread put their hands out. And this shows you the poverty they had. Some of them didn't have garments, they just put their hands out. And it tells you the detail of the story that Imam al-Tabari is telling us. And he began to put a dinar in everyone's hand, going in a circle, until he finished the whole bag. So he gave me 100 dinars. He says, happiness entered my heart due to their becoming wealthy, even more than the happiness of my 100 dinars. So I wanted to leave, and he said to me, young man, you are blessed, and I'm giving you advice, because it's halal wealth, so hold on to it. And know that I used to get up and pray Fajr in this same old torn garment of mine. And then I would take it off, and my daughters would pray one by one. Then I would go to work from between Dhuhr and Asr. Then I come at the end of the afternoon with whatever Allah blessed me from dates and bread. And then I would take off my garment, and then they would all pray Dhuhr and Asr. And the same thing for Maghrib and Isha. And we never imagined to see money like this. So may Allah benefit them with what they were given. And may Allah benefit me and you with what we were given. And may Allah have mercy on the owner of the money in his grave, the father of the man. And multiply the reward for his son. And may Allah accept from him. Ibn Jarir says, so I bade him farewell and I took the 100 dinars and spent them on my studies and learning for 2 years. I used to buy books and paper and pay rent. And after 16 years, I went to Mecca and I asked about the old man. And I was told that he died a few months after getting that money. And later on, his wife and her sister and her and him and the mothers, the mother died and the man's two sisters. And no one remained except his daughters. So I asked about them and found out that they had gotten married to kings and amirs. And that was due to the news of their father's righteousness spreading in the land. And I used to go visit their husbands and sit with them and converse with them. And they used to be hospitable to me until they passed away. فَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيمَا صَارُوا إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran in Surah Al-Talaq, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَتَّسِبُ. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will find him a way out and give him, provide for him, give him provision from where he least expects it. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Surely those who ask for his forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Just two points before we end. Number one, you don't have to follow the example of Sulaiman عليه السلام, which was only some of the Mufassirin's explanation that he killed the horses that distracted him from the religion, from worshiping Allah. So you don't have to destroy your possessions if you feel they have taken you away from Allah. A true story, a young man came to me and he said, I had a laptop. It's brand new and I loved it so much and I felt it was competing with my love of Allah, so I took it out and smashed it with my boots. You, even if you love it, it wouldn't match the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next time you want to destroy an item, just give it to me. Then the last thing is that giving something up for the sake of Allah is not just giving up the haram things. When you fast, you leave halal desires. Yeah, and you leave halal food for the sake of Allah. And in the hadith, Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Qudsi hadith, Allah says, يَدَعُ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He leaves his desire, halal, with his wife, and his food, halal, for my sake. So you can give up something halal. Someone can give up television, if it's halal, just for putting more of his time into Qur'an and learning his religion. But make sure you do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And we have other examples of in the Quran of people leaving halal things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah rewarded them with much better. In conclusion, we say, everyone these days is big on self-improvement and self-help. This is self-help right here. This is how to improve your life, increase your iman, bring peace of mind to yourself. This is how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Examine your life, and only you can do this. Only you can do that. Find an area, find something that you can give up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will see how your life will improve, inshallah. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم اجعلنا من أغنى خلقك بك ومن أفقر عبادك إليك. اللهم أملأ قلوبنا حبا لك وخوفا منك ورجاء فيك. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا لأحد من خلقك. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وإذل الشرك والمشركين. فاللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمن رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. وصل اللهم وبارك على مبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.